Well, just all around good guy.
I don't know where activist came from. That's a new one for me. Remember, I'm a recovering banker, so that's usually those don't go together, but I'll take it.
Okay.
Well, Lloyd, we are lucky to be joined right now by Kim Montague. Kim is the CEO and president of Albert Kahn Associates. So Albert Kahn is the Albert Kahn.
Yes. I mean, we're sitting in an Albert Kahn building
you
right now.
It. And Kim Montague is the Kim Montague. Kim, good morning. We're glad to have you.
Good morning, Matt. How are you today? Happy Friday.
Thank you, and happy Friday to you, too. We're doing great. So, you know, I think a lot of people may be surprised to learn, Kim, that Albert Kahn, you know, the famous architect here around Detroit, had a firm that still survives today. Give us a little bit of a background or an overview of just how important Albert Kahn was, not only to Detroit, but to the United States.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You mentioned the Fisher Building, and we're lucky enough to be on the 18th and 19th floor of that building and take a look at the Detroit skyline on a daily basis and see how Albert and his brothers really built the skyline of Detroit and beyond. They started their business as an industrial architect and working with Henry Ford on some of the very first factories that brought us the industrial age. That really started the process, this multidisciplinary approach to architecture and engineering. So we're proud to be part of that legacy and really continuing that legacy forward.
Kim, you know, you're leading a 131-year-old firm and a firm that has, you know, deep history and identity here. How do you honor that legacy while also pushing it forward into a very different future?
You know, it's a great question, and I'll tell you that's something that we think about on a daily basis. How can we continue to honor the legacy, but really looking at our business and what is propelling us forward? And, you know, there's two letters that we can't forget about, and that's AI. And we're incorporating that into our business today and really thinking about how technology can push us forward and think about design differently using those tools. But I will say this, we have, with our multidisciplinary approach and having architects and engineers sitting side by side working together on solutions for our clients, it really, we believe, gives us that unique perspective, honors the legacy, and really challenges us to think about how to do things a little bit differently, challenge that status quo, if you will.
Well, you know what, Kim, by challenging that status quo, you've been getting noticed. So you just won an award. You're the 2026 AIA Michigan Firm of the Year. So tell us a little bit about what that means and also, you know, the work it's taken to get there.
You know, it's funny. We had that celebration just this last Friday, and we had 24 of us in attendance. And we all got up on stage and cheered and realized that, you know, the work is not done there. But you know, I have to say, being part of this firm that is just so incredibly dedicated to the work that we do, you know, we're one of the few firms that has retained its name and its legacy for, you know, for the time that the firm has been in existence. One of the things that we really focus on, we call it, and Matt, I think I've spoken to you about this, we call it Gems to Giants. So we think about our work in a variety of ways. How can we have impact on the communities that we serve, and, you know, at the same time helping our clients really think about their business and how they can do their business better.
And it's amazing to think about the fact that you're trying to design buildings that will have a life that will span multiple generations, multiple iterations of technology. You know, just think about how the world of work will change in the next 20 years with AI. How do you think about designing for that?
You know, it's probably a completely overused term, but, you know, flexibility is really key. And as much as we can, allowing those structures, those buildings to adapt to the future, to an unknown future, which is honestly sometimes the biggest challenge in and of itself. We have a process that we call LEAD, L-E-A-D, listen, engage, advance, and deliver. And, you know, the listening part is really the piece that I think requires the most discipline, listening to your clients, helping to understand their business. Because remember, after we're done designing this building and the contractor is done constructing this building, our clients are the ones that have to live with it for the next, you know, 20, 30, 40, in some cases, like the Fisher Building, 100 years.
Kim, you've worked your way into a top leadership role in the field that has historically been male-dominated. For young women or young people generally who want to go into architecture or design, what do you wish more people told you early in your career?
Well, somebody told me not to be a doctor because I flunked organic chemistry. So, you know, some may say I kind of fell into this profession, but, you know, honestly, it's a desire, I think, to really think about communities and the impact of what we design as architects and engineers and how that influences daily life, you know, from your home to your place of worship to, you know, where you buy your groceries. Somebody was behind the design of that building and how it functions and the impact that it can have on interactions and relationships formed and what have you. So for me, it's an exceptionally exciting industry to be part of. When I started, we were about 20% women in the industry, and now in most of the architectural schools here locally, it's about 50-50, about 50% women, 50% men. So there has been this evolution of using design thinking and really not just being an architect, but using that design thinking approach in all aspects of business.
Well, Kim, we really appreciate you coming on and sharing the legacy of the Albert Kahn firm and also just sharing a little bit more about how you think about leading a firm with that legacy into, as you said earlier, a future that's going to be rapidly changing and uncertain. I guess the last thing is that you're also chairing the 2026 Go Red for Women campaign. We've got about 15 seconds left. What should we know about that?
Well, we just completed the Heart Walk last weekend, and donations are still available. Heart disease is one of the top killers of women. So to all you men out there and ladies out there, support your loved ones and donate to the American Heart Association.
Well, Kim Montague, CEO and president of Albert Kahn Associates, thank you very much for coming on. We appreciate it.
And keep up
the great work.
Thanks so much. Have a great day.
You as well. And now it's time for WJR Business Beat, brought to you by Shelving.com. We rack your world. Here is Jeff Sloan, founder and CEO of Startup Nation, to spotlight the entrepreneurial tech and startup community on WJR.
Good morning. Looking for new ways to drive awareness and traction to your business and what it is that you sell? Well, there's a powerful way to do that in the form of what's known as gamification that might be the magic bullet. New research carried out by TMS, a global technology marketing and sourcing company, has just published the Gamified Customer Journey white paper, drawing on proprietary research with over 1,200 UK and US consumers participating in a poll which highlights how to effectively use gamification across the customer lifecycle and what's working and what's not. Now, this research makes clear that consumers are increasingly embracing gamified brand experiences. What is gamification? Well, it's a strategic tool that boosts user engagement, loyalty, and emotional connection across the customer journey when used effectively. Gamification uses game-like mechanics such as awarding points, badges, leaderboards, and challenges to boost customer engagement, reward customers for taking certain actions, and being loyal to the business. Common gamification mechanics include point systems, badges and achievements, leaderboards, progress bars, and levels. It's likely as a consumer you've encountered some of these game-like mechanics. Here are some key highlights from the research. First, the bottom line, 72% of the consumers polled indicated that they have opted in to participate in gamified brand experiences. And 1/3 said gamified interactions motivate them to make a first purchase when they otherwise might not. 85% of consumers appreciate gamification in loyalty programs and encourage them to participate more deeply and be motivated more deeply by them. However, while clearly effective to be successful with gamification as a tool of engagement and loyalty reward, the findings also suggest that simplicity and immediacy are critical to success. Nearly 2/3, 62% of consumers, for example, said the ideal gamified experience should last no longer than 5 minutes. Marius Freilich, Associate Director, Engagement Strategy at TMS, said this about the results. Gamification has been one of the most powerful tools available to brands. So there you have it, looking for a way to create a little fun in the purchase journey you offer your consumers? Try gamification. It's clearly proving effective. I'm Jeff Sloan, founder and CEO of StartupNation.com, and that's today's Business Beat on the Great Voice of the Great Lakes, WJR.